Hello and welcome. Welcome to our service today. Today is sometimes known as Rural Mission Sunday, and our local parishes are certainly in a rural area, a remote rural area. And whether you're joining us from a rural setting, an urban setting, or somewhere in between, you're very welcome. Our call to worship, some words from the first letter of St. Peter. Come to the Lord. Come and like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house. And our first hymn reminds us that wherever we are, God is with us, and everywhere is holy ground. Come, let us worship our God.
Let us pray. Universal Lord, you are present with us now in this house, and yet you are also present everywhere else. Our imaginations cannot understand how you are both here and everywhere, and yet we trust that you are, and we are glad that you are. We can see you in all creation, from the morning sunrise to the setting sun. We see you in the glory of the flowers, in the gardens and in the fields, and in the singing of the birds. We are reminded of you throughout the day until the evening sunset. And then we see you in the moon and the stars. Each day you invite us to marvel at the wonders of creation, and we can see you in them all, including the people we meet. Father God, we are guilty of not paying attention and missing out on all the times we could have seen you in creation. Father God, we confess that we do not always take time to notice the world around us or to go to look for you in it. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to make wise choices in the future, to make time to look for you and see you in the world around us. And as we begin to see you everywhere, may that change our way of responding to the people and situations that come our way. May we learn to love as Jesus loved, care and share all we have and all we can offer as he did. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today's reading is from Samuel chapter 7 verses 1 to 14. Nathan's message to David. King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord kept him safe from all his enemies. And then the king said to the prophet Nathan, "Here I am, living in a house built of cedar, but God's covenant box is kept in a tent." Nathan answered, "Do whatever you have in mind, because the Lord is with you." But that night the Lord said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David that I say to him, 'You are not the one to build a temple for me to live in. From the time I rescued the people of Israel from Egypt until now, I have never lived in a temple. I have travelled around living in a tent. In all my travelling with people of Israel, I never asked any of the leaders that I appointed why they had not built me a temple made of cedar. So tell my servant David that I, the Lord Almighty, say to him, I took you from looking after sheep in the fields and made you the ruler of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have defeated all your enemies as you advanced. I will make you as famous as the greatest leaders in the world. I have chosen a place for my people Israel, and have settled them there, where they will live without being oppressed anymore. Ever since they entered this land, they have been attacked by violent people. But this will not happen again. I promise to keep you safe from all your enemies and to give you descendants. When you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will make one of your sons king and will keep his kingdom strong. He will be the one to build a temple for me, and I will make sure that the dynasty continues forever. I will be his father and he will be my son." The second reading is from Ephesians, and it's chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. One in Christ. "You Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by the Jews, who call themselves the circumcised," which refers to what men do to their bodies, "remember what you were in the past. All that time you were apart from Christ. You were foreigners and did not belong to God's chosen people. You had no part in the covenants, which were based upon God's promises to his people, and you lived in this world without hope and without God. But now, in union with Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the sacrificial death of Christ. For Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and Gentiles one people. With his own body, he broke down the wall that separated them and kept them enemies. He abolished the Jewish law with its commandments and rules in order to create out of the two races one new people in union with himself, and in this way making peace. By his death on the cross, Christ destroyed the enmity. By means of the cross, he united both nations, races into one body and brought them back to God. So Christ came and preached the good news of peace to all. To you Gentiles, who were far away from God, and to the Jews, who were near to him. It is through Christ that all of us, Jews and Gentiles, are able to come in to one spirit, into the presence of the Father. So then, you Gentiles, who are not foreigners or strangers any longer, you are now fellow citizens with God's people, and members of the family of God. You too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone of being Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit. Amen.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've heard how David became king over all 12 tribes of the Israelites. Initially over the two southern tribes, his own tribe of Judah and the smaller adjacent tribe of Benjamin, and then over the 10 northern tribes as well. And also how, after conquering Jerusalem, he fortified it as his capital. As well as being a very capable military leader, David was also politically astute. His bringing the Ark into Jerusalem and his wish to build a house for it there may have been purely acts of piety. But many would think that these were shrewd plans to strengthen the bonds between northern and southern tribes, which were somewhat fragile. When union with Judah was offering protection and other benefits, the northern tribes were reasonably content. But there was also always some friction between tribal groups, which had lived independently. Giving allegiance to one tribe, Judah, was not a natural thing to do. And as we've heard, the Lord had given David rest from all his enemies around him. So whilst David had time to think of such things as building a temple, the northern tribes may well have had time to wonder if ties with Judah were still necessary. Over time, there would be rifts between Judah and the 10 northern tribes. And eventually, after the days of David and his son Solomon, they would separate into two different kingdoms, the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel. David was aware of this uneasiness, and certainly the idea of stopping the ark being seen as portable, being able to move around between tribal areas, of fixing the ark, fixing God's presence in his capital Jerusalem would make people come to Jerusalem and might discourage any desire to break the link with Judah. Religion has been used on occasion to exert control over people throughout the centuries, and in our own day we still see this happening. For instance, the sectarianism we sadly see often uses religion to get people to act in certain ways, often aggressive and violent ways. Then we sometimes see national leaders or politicians apparently using religion to win votes or to cement loyalty. And I'm not talking here about a person genuinely sharing their beliefs. From time to time, we hear of prosecutions of leaders of religious sects who have set up their own ministries to line their own pockets or satisfy their own desires to the detriment of those who follow them. And perhaps most sadly of all, we've heard all too recently of control being exercised by some church authorities to silence those who would speak out about wrongdoing, about abuse within the church. In all of these uses or misuses of religion, one very important thing is missing, and that is love. Love never serves its own ends. Love may lead, may offer guidance, but never manipulate or control. So what does all this mean to us? As a preacher, I must always endeavour to offer words in love, leading possibly, but never trying to coerce. And each one of us should share our faith in love, never to achieve something for ourselves, and certainly never as a threat. Never words like, "God will punish you." But back to the reading. Whatever David's motives for wanting to build a permanent house for the ark, God had other plans. No human structure, neither ark nor temple, could confine God to a particular place or time. God was and is with his people everywhere and through all the ages. God's plan changed the whole meaning of the word house. David was not to build a physical house, a temple for God. And David accepted this. But God would build a house for David, a house of the line of David, a dynasty which would be linked with an everlasting kingdom. We heard, "The Lord will make you a house. I will raise up your offspring after you, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now, David's line of earthly kings did die out. But a son of David, Jesus the Messiah, would establish and reign in an everlasting kingdom. A kingdom that doesn't just unite the 12 tribes, but will unite all people everywhere. God showed that house was people, not property. How often have we heard that church is not the building, but the people? In our second reading, the letter to the Ephesians, we heard, "You are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." God dwells with his people wherever they are. He cannot be confined to a box or a building, locked up in an ark, a temple, or church buildings. None could or can confine God to a particular place and time. God is with his people everywhere and through all the ages. He will meet us in sacred buildings, but also in secular ones, in our homes, in community, in commercial and public buildings, and outside of any building, in the countryside and in city streets. Whatever challenges the future may bring, God does have plans for us, his living stones, built together on the cornerstone of Christ Jesus as his dwelling place. He will be with us and he will guide us. Amen.
Now let us join in our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. God of love, thank you for the vast universe you have created for us to enjoy. Thank you for the mixture of beauty and fragility which makes up the world we know. You are present in it all and experience the joy and pain which ebbs and flows throughout the universe. Father God, we are grateful for the things that bring us joy and laughter, for friends and family, for homes and financial security, for health and education, for peace and a stable government. But Lord, we are all too aware that many people are not so fortunate, and we bring our prayers for them to you today. Because of your generosity, many are in a position to help, but simply need your guidance to do so. For those people who have no roof over their heads, who do not have a table, let alone food to put on it, Lord, help us find a way to put that situation right. For those people whose lives are affected by walls that keep them out and are barriers to their daily living, Lord, help us to find a way to put that situation right. For those people whose doorways do not protect them from intruders looking to steal or to harm them, Lord, help us to find a way to put that situation right. For those people who look out of their windows but refuse to see the pain and the suffering and injustice, Lord, enlighten them Father God, you live everywhere and in everyone. Do not let us forget to seek you in our neighbour and to follow the way of Jesus by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, taking care of the poor, the bereaved and the sick, making sure that all people have a place to live where they feel safe and a place where they belong. Father God, make your home in our hearts and help us to share your love with everyone. Amen.
Let us dedicate our offerings to God. Generous God, receive our offerings today. Take and use them to build your kingdom. Not just church buildings, but community. Places where people feel they belong. Take our money and take our gifts of time and talents too, and use them as you will. Amen. And we draw all our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
May the grace of God uphold us and bind us together into a living temple, so that his love and peace may flow out from us to all around us. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us, with all whom we love, and with all God's children everywhere. Amen.
Shine upon you.